to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hello there, Jennifer Curtin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Welcome to the Breakfast Show this morning, the 14th of February, and a very happy Valentine's Day to you.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Do you know it's been an exciting week in politics, hasn't it, here and internationally? We're here, we've got Labor ahead of the Nats for the first time in 12 years, even though they are running the country alongside the coalition partners. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because the National are so used to sitting on, 45 plus, and they had been because of the Key government. But, if we flipped this and said, 5 years ago, Labor was on 41%. That'd all be, and while they're in opposition, that'd all be going, yay, this is really great.
Yeah.
So 41% is still fairly healthy. I would have thought, when Judith Collins was first running for the leadership, she said, I won't stay on as leader if my party drops less than, she said something like 35%.
Yeah.
So really, 41%. It's more just that they don't like the idea that Labor, it's more about Labor reaching 47, I think, and being so far ahead in that regard, whereas they used to sort of being able to claim the 40s on their own.
And especially in a climate which seems to me like there's so many more people criticising the government at the moment than there are congratulating the government for stuff, and whatever you believe, whether that's right or wrong, there seems I think across the media, across people, the social commentary sort of thing, seems to be a lot of very vocal people about how this government's letting us down, you wait till the next election sort of thing, and which isn't really reflected in this poll, is it? And especially it's not reflected with any support for Simon Bridges.
No, and I suppose she did. This poll was taken before Waitangi Day. I think it was like the 24th of January to the 2nd of Feb. So there's probably a large group of people out there who feel that things are trucking along okay, and they're not the people necessarily who get polled, or who's social media and some of the mainstream media there are designed their clickbait stories to provoke us into feeling certain kinds of things, I suppose. So, I was surprised to see 47%, given we've been on holiday. But maybe we're all feeling great about how good the weather is, and things are fine. And they haven't had much to say. Now that Parliament's back and things are getting very adversarial again, maybe it'll change, and we'll see a flip flop. I don't think, we don't know exactly who that 47%. Are in terms of gender breakdown and so on, but I don't know if you've seen the new National Party anti-Kiwi Build barbecue clip.
Yeah, I was on the project last night. We used it. We played it as the funny, the funny. It's called. It's ridiculous.
I'm really not sure that they're thinking they're going to crack through to new voters with that one, especially women voters, because the gender gap is often, Key did a lot of work drawing women voters off Labor and back to National. And I'm really not sure, that they're going to...
For people who haven't seen it, it's basically a three-person barbecue. don't hire too many people. A three-person barbecue, and the barbecue looks like it's been manned by somebody who's probably a Green supporter or something like that. Anyway, but so you've got this young man and young lady standing there, both having a beer because that's what Kiwis do at barbecues. And to me. He sounds. She's talking about Kiwi Build and how great Labor is, and then he sort of goes, oh, well, actually, and does the sums, and sort of pulls out these figures. And to me, he sounds a little bit pissed when he's doing it as well.
Well, I have to say that's what I thought too. But
just not pissed, but on the verge of pissed.
They've been there a while, talking politics for a while now, right?
And then some weird old hobbit guy from the background goes, hey, that's their problem. Yeah. All sizzle and no sauce, or something like that. It's terrible.
Yeah,
see that,
and people are saying they've done a fact check on it, and even the first statement made about the 100,000 homes is wrong.
We weren't sure whether there was a discussion in the production meeting about whether it was even a genuine National Party ad.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's really, it's made the first week of politics, if we think about it, the first week back with Parliament sitting again, to be quite interesting and have a little bit of humour. But you do wonder if it is real. It's
Well, it's got to be real. It's real now. Unless they would have said if it's not, you know, someone would work it out by now, wouldn't they?
But I mean, it's really just like here they are supposed to be, you know, reviewing their internal party culture.
And exactly.
And here we have this
a good round of mansplaining.
Seriously. Anyway, yeah.
At the barbie, because that's what just Kiwis do.
Yeah.
He's wearing jandals.
Yeah. They've decided to go seriously oppositional, though, like with the standoff at the finance select committee meeting hearing.
What was that all about? That just sounded like a some sort of schoolyard spat. What's going on there?
Yeah, a little bit of a dummy spitting going on there, I think. So they were going to talk about the wellbeing budget in the committee, and people had, you know, submitters had turned up to give their perspectives on different financial matters, and Labor were a little bit late, some of the Labor MPs.
No.
And so the National MPs walked out and wouldn't come back in again, and so the whole committee had to be cancelled.
Oh, that's
really going to give people a good impression of what they do for a living for us.
That makes him so much more professional. Hey, the Parliament, in Parliament, you say the Prime Minister defended our relationship with China after the Huawei dramas. Have you seen the ads that the 5G without Huawei is like rugby without New Zealand?
Yeah, the big poster that's going around.
Another
Like, you know, terrible. I know that some people in New Zealand care about rugby, but some people really don't care about rugby. So I think probably China cares almost more about rugby than New Zealand.
Where are we at with China? What's going on?
Well, you know, they closed the case on Amory Brady's burglary of her house yesterday, the professor from Canterbury.
Did they?
So, and with no finding. So they haven't been able to find, you know, anything. So the same day that we're sort of hearing that five ministers potentially can't get visas to go visit, it does sound like a sort of a soft power kind of range of hostilities. But the thing is that this isn't new. Like the opposition's trying to say, oh, this is really bad and it's our relationship is tanked. But if you look at the relationship, for example, that Australia has with China, at different times this always happens where, perhaps not to this extent because of the Trump-China trade war, but it's a complex relationship. And if you come out, if a government comes out and says anything about the vocational training camps in West China or the South China Sea, or then China's monitoring all of this and really keen to sort of push back in different ways. So this is muscle flexing, but I doubt very much that, you know, our trade is going to tank over this immediately.
The Huawei thing is really gone under China's skin, though, hasn't it? They're really sort of upset that we're not allowing them to be part of our 5G rollout.
Yeah, and Australia's not letting them be part of their 5G rollout either. So when they're thinking about it, they're thinking that the Five Eyes have colluded, I suppose. Except my understanding is that the UK has Huawei involved in their 5G rollout. So, they are miffed. That's obvious. You know, what we decide to do and what they decide to do in terms of ramping it up further. I mean, I'm not a China expert, but our media are suggesting that it's, you know, the sky's going to fall in.
They're our biggest trading partner, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Yep. And we've always had an independent stance with relationship to the US as well.
Yeah.
Of course, it looks like we're a little, you know, they'll take it as we're being too soft on US, and the US has asked, and Australia has asked us to get tougher on China. So, I mean,
lots of little guys get tougher on China.
Yeah.
Hey, what about what's going on over the Tasman? That's circus over. How, if you're Australian and you were looking at the politicians in Australia and the way politics is playing out in Australia over the last 10 or 20 years, why would you vote even? What a circus.
I know, and I think their turnout...
Hands up, who knows the name of the Prime Minister of Australia at the moment? Oh,
I think their turnout rates would have collapsed by now if they didn't have compulsory voting. So this is the only reason why they...
Compulsory voting?
voting. So it's really like they got to the verge of a constitutional crisis a couple of days ago because the government there was trying to make out that this bill, which is now law, to bring 879 very sick refugees to Australia for medical treatment. They wanted to treat it like it was a money bill. And if it didn't pass the House, because it was a money bill, it would cause, it would require the government, it would have, the government would have lost financial control and would have had to call an early election. So they were really trying to wedge Labor and the Independents on this to sort of push them to the wire. In the end, the money bill got taken out, it got passed through the House, it went back to the Senate and passed. So these people are coming, but just yesterday then Scott Morrison gets out, does a big press release and say, we're going to reopen Christmas Island Detention Centre because of this medical bill. We have weakened border security. People smugglers will be coming back. We're going to have to lock more people up on Christmas Island.
Wow.
Andrew Little is horrified, but it's like they're just using this, these poor people, these refugees, futures as a political football extraordinaire.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I know people here really probably won't have their mind on AusPol, but they're going to an election in May.
And then one on AusPol, did you say? Is that what it's called? AusPol.
AusPol. But it is quite, I think, quite fascinating just because, you know, what the current government there is prepared, the length it's prepared to go to wedge people around issues of fear, and an us and them, and all refugees are bad, and, you know, we'll be swamped. It's just
nasty, isn't it? Hey, Jennifer, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. We'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.